Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Josh Skolnick, who is the founder of the Monster Tree Service franchise opportunity. And Monster Tree Service is a professional tree restoration, pruning, and removal service founded in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. And Monster Tree Service provides skilled, reliable tree management experts to assist customers with the best possible tree care solution while giving prospective franchisees a rock-solid, reliable system to duplicate and grow their business. And that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Josh Skolnick, who is the founder of the Monster Tree Service franchise opportunity. And Monster Tree Service is a professional tree restoration, pruning, and removal service founded in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Hey, Josh, how you doing? Welcome to the show this morning.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, Josh. Thanks for coming on the show. We're excited to have you on the show for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think we've ever had this category. We've been doing the show almost 6 years now, and we haven't had your category on the show or your industry, so excited about that. And also, you're from Pennsylvania, so there's a couple of different reasons. You know, are you calling from Pennsylvania this morning, Josh?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fantastic. And you have, you know, I was reading before the show, your biography. I mean, it almost seems like you were a born entrepreneur or destined for entrepreneurship. Could you want to talk like a little bit about, you know, what you were doing before, I guess you could say, starting Monster Tree Service?
Yeah, at an early age, about 13 years old, I started out in the landscape industry. Grew up in a neighborhood where it was primarily elderly people, so started in the wintertime. Really shoveling snow for the neighbors at, you know, free of charge, so to say, for fresh baked cookies at the end of the winter to help them out so they can get out in case of an emergency and stuff. That kind of snowballed into cutting grass for some of the people as well. Grew into a full-time business for me through middle school and high school. I graduated high school with a multi-unit business, but didn't want to spend the rest of my life cutting grass. So I chose to move into another direction into the mulch blowing field. I had large blower trucks, installed landscape products thematically all over the East Coast, primarily from Long Island, New York, down in Northern Virginia. Spent a lot of time living out of hotels doing that, working around the clock, and saw the economy starting to crash. And had a lot of my existing landscape customers who still continued to contact me even after the sale of my landscape business in 2007. That would contact me to find out, you know, Josh, do you have someone who can clean my gutters, power wash my deck, do seal coating of my driveway, do my trees? And so in the spring of 2008, I had a customer who was calling me, and he had a dead elm tree, and unfortunately he couldn't get anybody to cut it down nor find a professional company to come out and actually show up for the estimate and give him a respectable price to do it. So he called me and says, Josh, I'm getting a little frustrated. What can you do to help me out? I said, give me a few days, Dave, and I'll get back with you and see what I can do. Well, I called one of my subcontractors that when I was in the landscape business, I would sub out my tree work to, and said, what would you charge me? What would you charge me to give me a tree climber for the day? He says, you know what, Josh? He goes, you know, give me $250. I said, okay, no problem, deal. Called Dave back, said, listen, I can get the tree down for you for $2,500. Go out there with one of my dump trucks, rented a chipper. Next thing you know, the tree climber says, I need this, I need that. Went out and bought him the proper equipment to get through it. But the funniest part about the whole story was we showed up to cut down a tree that was about 4 foot diameter at the base with an 18-inch steel chainsaw. So the climber looks at me and goes, Josh, I'm not getting through that tree with that saw. I need this, I need that. So I went out and I got it for him. The best part of the whole story is while the crew's working on taking down the tree, I'm walking up and down the street. People are coming out. Hey, I get a limb over my house. I get a dead tree in my backyard. I got this tree blocking my view getting out of my driveway. Can you get me a price to cut it down? Over a 4 or 5 hour period, I sold about $20,000 worth of work up and down that street.
That's amazing. I love stories like that, Josh. That's a great story.
Very unique. So I had no intention of getting in the tree business. I was more or less trying to help out an existing customer of mine. It turns out that because of that one job, it looked like, you know, that was Saturday, June 7th, 2008. And, you know, I looked at the guys that were there and the tree climber. I said, can you start Monday? He says, I start Monday. So it was like, he said, why? What's going on? I said, it looks like I'm in a tree business. I just sold $20,000 worth of work on the street. And he goes, I'm in. So from there, it really started to grow. Bought a brand new bucket truck, chippers, chip trucks, acquired well over $1 million worth of equipment within a 6 month time frame. Took out marketing, direct mail, phone book ads, you name it. Just did like guerrilla marketing on it and was in the tree business. And within the first calendar year, built out well in excess of $1 million in services.
That's fantastic. You guys provide
That's
a lot
where
of
I'm at
different.
Today.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's you guys provide a lot of like different services too. I noticed, going on the website. We were just recently at the franchise show at the Jacob Javits Center, and I noticed when a lot of people they come up to a booth, they say, "So what do you guys do? How do you typically respond to someone if they were to come up to your booth and say, so what do you guys do, Josh? Where do you go from there?"
So what do? We teach people how to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And,
good.
The That's number good. One thing I say to people is, what brings you here to the show? Obviously, you want to go into business for yourself, and number one reason why you want to go into your business for yourself is because you want that financial independence.
Right.
Well, what we offer is not necessarily the sexiest business, but what we offer is an executive model within a very profitable industry. Unfortunately, we're in a business where that lacks true professionals, and that's what Monster Tree Service offers, state-of-the-art, system with unparalleled customer service and professionalism. And we break that down and we teach the people how they can operate a business and employ and execute a company that is probably one of the most profitable industries you could truly be in on when it comes to exterior maintenance. So when you break that down for somebody and you show them that we've got a national hiring program to really pair them with the arborists to do the sales for them, the tree climbers to do the climbing work, and we're teaching them how to be an executive and run their business in a profitable fashion, acquire the right equipment, stagger and stage the crews appropriately and schedule the work in a profitable manner, you know, it becomes very appealing to people. One thing that we also have that, as you probably know from the franchise community, is an item 19 within our FDD. A lot of companies don't do that because, you know, they have weak financial performances, and we don't. So we find that at the trade shows, people come up to us and go, tree service, why do I want to go into the tree service? And they leave and go and scan my badge. I want to talk to you ASAP.
Right.
This interests me a lot. So when they see that item 19, that doesn't lie that this is a profitable industry.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's important. You're right. Most franchisers do not list that item 19, so I think that's fantastic. In addition, you know, when I was reading about you guys, too, it sounds like in addition to, you know, buying a business that is very profitable and makes money, it sounds like you spent a lot of time systematizing this particular business. You know, I mean, from that moment that you discovered this niche or this need in the market, it sounds like you spent several years, I guess you could say, systematizing this business as well, would you say?
Absolutely, and I get questioned by my employees a lot of times when I stop by job sites. Why are you here? You know, we know what we're doing. And I say, explain to my guys, the reason why I'm here on this job site is not to babysit you or to teach you how to do your job, but it's really to study what you guys are doing and find a more effective approach to the way that we do it. And that's why with certain pieces of equipment that I've acquired over the years, the 4 years I've been doing this, that's because I've studied and watched what the guys are doing and look at things and go, that's not efficient. There's got to be a better way. And even though I feel as if I'm to the point where I've got the most efficient way, and I hear from a lot of guys that have 15, 20, 25 years experience in the industry that come to work for me and say, I've never seen a system like what you have. I still feel like there's a better way, and I will consistently strive to try to find that and continue to evaluate and study the industry that I'm in. You know, I never get with the attitude that we're too good for this and we figured it out because there's always a better way to do it. And, you know, one big thing that I talk to the potential franchisees about is, can you do this on your own? Absolutely, you can do this on your own. But one thing I'm going to point out to you that's very important, why we all go into business, it's for the money. And you can spend the next 15 to 20 years figuring out what I've tested and measured in the last 4 years. And by the time you figure out what I do, you will never make up the lost revenue.
That's true. No, absolutely. And I like how you said there's always a better way to do it. You know, I think McDonald's, you know, has that philosophy and Subway has that philosophy. You know, I mean, the great, you know, franchisors that have like 34,000 units, you know, they're always looking to improve upon that system, you know. So I think that's so important. I'm looking out my window right now. I'm also in Pennsylvania, Josh. I'm in eastern Pennsylvania, and I'm looking at, you know, thousands and thousands of trees. It sounds to me like, I mean, I'm imagining that this is a pretty big market or a pretty big industry, would you say?
It's a $2.9 billion industry annually.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, it's such a huge market. And, you know, I had a friend who, you know, when I first got into internet radio, I became really good friends with a gentleman. His name was Ken Six, and he had this show called Arbor Talk. You know, it was talking about trees and things like that. And, you know, he always mentioned to me that, you know, it was always people have trouble finding people like yourself to, you know, help them with their trees, you know. So there's just not.
I mean, arboriculture is something that people choose as a career path. And unfortunately, there's very few professional companies out there that can truly offer them that career that they can build upon. And I can count on one hand the names of the companies across the U.S. that are out there that are national firms. But when it comes to, you know, small business and mom and pops, it's just about the smash and grab. It's, you know, get out there, make our money, get done, and get home. And, you know, they're constantly rollover of employees. And, you know, they promise their employees the world, but they can't deliver on that. And that's one thing that I've done. And people say to me, how'd you build your business so quick? And I say, because I've got good employees, I treat them right, I give them the career path that they're looking for, and they build a solid foundation, and they'll stay with me long term. Because that's the key to truly building a business, is not just having the best system, but it's also having the right people behind you. And, you know, one thing that I'm not afraid to do is tell my employees, I couldn't do it without you, and you couldn't do it without me, because you need me to provide you with the equipment and the business, and then I need you to not only perform the work in the arborist to sell the work. So there's a true appreciation of the respect all the way around and the need for everybody involved and all the pieces in the puzzle.
Mm.
And that's the big thing that we try to teach to the franchisees, is that, you know, to respect your employees because you need them in order to develop your business. And as long as you have that concrete foundation of the system and the employees, you can build an efficient and profitable business.
What will you look for in your franchisees, Josh? I mean, you look for any particular types of characteristics, you know? I mean, it doesn't sound like you need a lot of experience to get into this type of business. So what are you looking for as the founder of the company?
Looking for somebody that's willing to, eager to learn, somebody
mm-hmm.
that wants to manage a business. The person who can climb the trees or go out and operate all the equipment is not the ideal candidate for us because,
right.
again, like I said earlier in our conversation, it is an executive model. So we're
right.
teaching people how to manage a business and employ the right people within their arsenal to go out and do the work for them. So somebody who's a people person, can easily communicate with people. Those are some of the strongest characteristics, and as well as they have to have the financials to be able to support what's required to, you know, operate the business from a financial standpoint, as well as to acquire the proper equipment to do the work.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What about the training? What's the training like? Once someone decides that they say, you know what, this is a match, you like them, they like you, and they say, okay, I want to go forward with your franchise. What's the training like from there?
They would come to our corporate headquarters in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
There would be on-site training within our corporate headquarters, which will go through the back end of the way the business operates and a lot of the systems. Then there will be on-site training as well on jobs that we run so that they can get a good feel of what the different job duties are, you know, how we stage our crews, how we schedule our work, what equipment gets allocated to different job sites, how you determine that. And then after that five-day process, there's a lot of stuff that we cram within those 5 days. So if somebody's local, they will commute, but if they're, you know, further than 3-4 hours away, more than likely they'll fly in and stay for the week.
Right.
The training is all included in the franchise fee. There is no additional fee for that initial training, which would allow themselves and one or two other people to be involved in that training at no charge. After that is finished, then what we do, as long as we have a territory designated for them to open up, we will then go out to their location. We will teach them how to direct market to the customer base within their territory. We will then begin the hiring process of all the employees, acquiring all the equipment. And, you know, there's a lot of on-site training that's going to go on because we are a new franchisor. The most important thing to us is to make sure that our first 10 to 15 franchisees are rock solid. So whatever time and devotion we have to give to them to make sure that they're successful, they will be the foundation of the future of this system. So we will do what it takes. And what I've executed within the last 6 to 12 months is I've actually overhired within my corporate location with the intention of franchisees opening up and having the employees with the experience within my system to push them out on site with the franchisees to make them successful. So it's not just the on-site training at our corporate location. It's also
right.
Out at their location, wherever the franchisee's territory is, to make them successful.
Mm. Don and I always say on the show, you know, that one of the themes over the last 5 years, there's a lot of advantages sometimes to going with, let's say, like it's sometimes a newer franchise or smaller in the beginning. I mean, in the beginning stages, because, again, they get to talk to guys like yourself, you know. There's some great stories of some, like, franchisees trying to get in touch with, like a gentleman like Fred DeLuca, who started Subway, and they refer to them as, like, franchisee number 10,299 or something like that, you know. So I think there's certainly a lot of advantages to sometimes going with sometimes a smaller franchise that they could just call you on the phone. You know, like right now, certainly you're very accessible. So I think that's important. How would you describe, if it's possible anyway, like a typical day for a franchisee, Josh? I mean, how does it start from like the morning to like the end of the day?
Well, the start of the day would obviously start with meeting the crews at the shop,
mm-hmm.
getting them on the road, giving them the job / work orders for the work that needs to be performed during the day. Then from there, what it would really roll into is managing the business, making sure obviously when the crews leave the shop, they've got all the equipment that they require to complete their jobs and tasks for the day. Then as the owner of the business, they could do one of two things. If they're involved in a sale, they would be out doing estimates. I myself, as the owner, I've learned very quickly everything that's required to sell this work. Within the first month or two, I was out on a full-time basis selling along with a certified arborist that was out full-time. Now we currently deploy four full-time salesmen on a daily basis. But for the franchisee, we're going to require that they do hire an arborist up front. So what I would really like to see in the day of the owner starting out is spending a lot of time with that arborist, learning the industry, learning the lingo and the sales process of exactly how we do this. Because when it comes to the training and the sales process of selling this work, we're going to have to put their arborist through the sales process that we have, the training that we offer. So once they pick that up, then what they will do is we see the owner of the business doing more of what we call on-site sales. So when he deploys his crews out to certain job sites, getting out on that job site, speaking with the homeowner, letting them know, hey, listen, you know, your pin oak tree there, we're house clearing it, we're deadwooding. While we're here, you've got a silver make one electric corner of your house. Why don't we do the same thing for you on your back tree as we're doing on the front tree while we're here? Save you a little bit of money as opposed to coming back at a later date to do that. And or walking neighborhoods where the crews are working and just, hey, is there anything I can do for you while I'm in the neighborhood? And then as that goes through, as long as you hire the right people, you know, the crews can efficiently get their work done, and really all you have to do is manage selling the work and manage the office staff as far as doing your billables and receivables. So it's a fairly simple day-to-day process, but also at the same time, you know, there's always those unknowns that comes up where you have to be a problem solver during the day. You know, guy might call you, hey, we backed the truck off the driveway onto the lawn. We thought it was dry enough, but the rear tire sunk. So now you got to put your thinking cap on and kind of be creative on how are you fixing this? Do you need to get a tow truck to pull it out, or are you able to crib it up with some wood and get it out? You know, so that's more of what the owner's going to do, is just really manage the day-to-day operations and go through and make sure they're thinking with a positive thought process all day long.
You probably get some interesting stories too, I bet. You know, the one you told me in the beginning of, you know, how you discovered this whole business, I think is an amazing story. But you probably hear some interesting stories, I guess, from customers as well, don't you? I mean, some crazy things, I guess, that sometimes happen. You know, I never thought about that too. You know,
I've heard every crazy thing under the sun about my competitors from people. It's absolutely baffles me how you go to somebody's house, you meet them about a job, and they can ramble two or three tree services that they've used in the past, and they've never have them back on their property. And sometimes it's for the dumbest little things and the silliest little things that you're just like, come on, are you serious? Not on the customer side, but on the contractor side. Like, you didn't rectify that issue, or, you know, you treated the customer like that. You'd really be surprised. I mean, you're dealing with a blue-collar world.
Yeah,
you know, this is truly a blue-collar workforce. It's a blue-collar. A lot of these people are contractors. These are guys that know how to climb trees, that know how to get tree work done, but they don't know how to manage a business or truly deal with customers. So, you know, their frustration levels, I guess, at times can run high because they're constantly beating their heads against the wall trying to manage a business that's out of control for them.
What advice would you, I would definitely classify you as an entrepreneur in studying your background, Josh, but what advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchipreneurs. You know, they kind of have it in the back of their mind that, you know, they want to buy a franchise. What would you say to them?
Obviously, you know, there's a lot of homework that they need to do, not necessarily in the tree industry, but I would kind of look at every opportunity you're looking at, because obviously when someone comes in and looks to buy a franchise, they're not just looking at one. They're looking at multiple concepts and systems. And I guess really what you need to look at is the support that's going to be there and be able to go out and talk to other franchisees and, you know, even talk to employees within the business and kind of get a feel for the true day-to-day operations. And obviously say to yourself, is this something that I can see myself waking up every morning doing? I know 5 years ago, if you asked me, do you think you'll ever be a tree guy, I'd tell you, no way. I have no interest in ever getting in a tree business. You know, what do I want to work 60, 70 feet up above the ground for?
But
what I've done is I've got into it from an executive side, you know, of having the business experience to build it. So I guess that's the thing is, you know, for the franchisees, do they want to work in their business or work on building their business? And this is truly a duplicatable model where you can build it. It doesn't require you to be out in the field physically doing the work every day like a lot of other systems do. So those are some of the key things that I would really, really point out to a franchisee looking And the biggest, most important thing, again, like I said earlier, why do people go into the business? For the financial independence and the freedom of being their own boss. So you want to definitely do your homework to make sure that the business is a profitable business that you're getting into and that you can really find that financial freedom that you're looking for.
That's well said. So where do you see the business on the road?
Well, moving forward, the most important thing to us is controlled growth. We've kind of set a short-term goal of 60 units within 5 years' time, but if that moves a little bit too fast for the controlled pace of growth that we're looking for, then we would back that number down. You know, for us, it's not about volume. It's about the quality of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most important thing to us, is making sure the people we do open up are quality people. So it's not about quantity, it's about quality, because, you know, if we move too fast, we're going to, you know, we'll crash and burn just as fast as we build it.
Yeah, that's well said. Absolutely. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee, Josh? Are there any websites they should go to, any numbers they should call?
We do have a website. It's whymonster.com, spelled out,
okay.
whymonster.com. They can also contact the main office at 215-672-5296. We have a director of franchise development, Mark Elson. He's more than willing to get them any information. He runs weekly webinars, one during the afternoon on Tuesdays,
mm-hmm.
one in the evening on Thursdays. People are more than welcome to get onto that, get some more information. And obviously, you'll come in for a discovery day. We're located in eastern Pennsylvania. We're more than willing to let people come in and kind of explore the opportunities that we have.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Josh. I think you guys have a great franchise model, and I'd like to already invite you back sometime next year, you know, as you guys continue to grow.
Absolutely. I'd love to join you.
Thanks so much, Josh. You have a great day today.
Thank you. Enjoy your day as well.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting franchise interviews now over 5 years and almost 300 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show.
Today we're actually going to go back to the most very basic elements of franchising. In fact, we're going to go back 5 years ago to our very first show we did with PB Loco, where Don and I get into the defining the word franchise. We use references like the great Dave Thomas. So I think you'll enjoy this edition.
You know, the criteria they filled out, what they'd be comfortable in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think probably another good place to start, Don, is to, you know, define the word franchise, you know, because a lot of times when I ask my business students for the definition of a franchise, their response is typically the same. You know, they'll say to me, McDonald's or Subway or Quiznos. And, you know, yesterday before the show, you know, I looked up the word franchise in the Oxford Dictionary, and it defines a franchise as follows. It says, an authorization granted by a company to sell its goods or services in a particular way. And, you know, that's a good definition, but it doesn't really help an aspiring entrepreneur understand what franchising really is. And I know you had a good definition we were speaking about from the book Franchising for Dummies, which I think is written by the great Dave Thomas, who's gone on to, you know, bigger and better things.
Right, right.
But I don't know if you have
CEO
that.
CEO of Wendy's. Yeah, I do have that. It's a
you do.
Book written by him and Michael Seid of
that's right.
H. Seid and Associates. I thought it was a, you know, really great definition. It's a little lengthy, but I think
mm-hmm.
it really sums it up, the definition of what is a franchise.
Right.
And it basically says franchising is a system for expanding a business and distributing goods and services
mm-hmm.
and an opportunity to operate a business under a recognized brand name.
Good.
For example, Wendy's doesn't franchise hamburgers.
Right.
And Midas, the, you know, muffler franchise, they don't franchise car mufflers.
Right.
They franchise business systems that deliver hamburgers and mufflers to customers with consistency
mm.
of the products and services and also the customer experience. It says a franchise occurs when a business, which is called the franchisor, the franchise corporate office is called the franchisor.
Okay.
They license its trade name, which is the brand, such as Wendy's or Midas, and its operating methods, which is a system or their system of doing business, to a person or group. The person investing in the franchise is called the franchisee.
Okay.
So I think that's important to bring out somebody's terms because
absolutely,
you know, the franchisee is going to be the owner of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
The franchisor is the, you know, is the Wendy's or the Midas.
Right.
The franchisee, by buying into the franchise system, they agree to operate according to the terms of the contract. That's called the franchise agreement.
Okay.
The franchisor provides the franchisee with support and in some cases exercises some control over the way the franchisee operates under the brand.
Okay.
So that's what we mean before about the pros and cons. You know, you're in business for yourself. You have a much higher chance of success, but you're under the...
But you're not by yourself, as you say. You know,
right.
Your franchising is, you know, being in business for yourself, but not by yourself. It, you know, one of the words that you said in that definition, Don, which, by the way, I mean, I think is probably the best definition I've seen, you know, since being involved in franchising, is the most important word is system. And what do we mean by system is kind of like a method of doing things so you get the same result every single time.
Right.
And the analogy that I typically give, Don, is that, you know, the franchisor is the teacher and the franchisee is the student. And it's very important that the student, who's the franchisee, trust as well as listen to the teacher, who in this case is the franchisor. And they also must be willing to totally follow the system and not try to reinvent the wheel. Otherwise,
it's already a proven system and
absolutely
concept. That's why they're buying into it, paying a franchise fee, paying royalties. It's already a
exactly.
successful, proven system. That's why they're investing in a franchise, much lower failure rate.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Yeah, the keyword system is very important here because someone doesn't have to go into and set up all this marketing and all these different things involved with starting up a business on their own. It's already been done. I mean, it's already done for you. You just have to follow the system, and if you
right.
do that, you're going to be successful in most cases.
Absolutely, and I think that's what can make it difficult for some entrepreneurs, Don, is because, you know, some people are so entrepreneurial that they don't have the ability to follow a system. You know, it's kind of like, the example I give is, you know, you buy a McDonald's franchise, and you say, you know what, I think that this cheeseburger is going to taste better with 4 pickles and a little more mustard, you know, and you just start trying to reinvent all these different things. It's not necessary with franchising. You have to be willing to totally follow that system. Otherwise, it's not for you, and that's why franchising isn't for everyone. And that's, you know, franchisers certainly don't want somebody coming into their system and trying to reinvent things. You know, you don't have to do that.
Right. It's a good point. I speak to franchisors all the time who necessarily don't want to recruit or find an investor who's had a background in their industry to invest in them because
absolutely
they might you know, want to do things their way. If things start off a little slow, they want people coming in fresh who can be trained, learn their system, and do things exactly what's been successful with their other franchise owners. So
I agree. I agree. You know, another example I give Don is I call it the entrepreneurial scale, where, you know, I would ask somebody, I'd say, you know, how entrepreneurial are you on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, 1 being low and 10 being the highest. You know, and if somebody said to me that they're a 9 or a 10, I think I would push that person away from franchising, you know, because again, these are typically people who are just so entrepreneurial that, you know, their mind is always going and they just want to reinvent things over and over. And, you know, so those people should not go into franchising, you know. So
right.
It's very interesting points, you know.
Yeah, and just one last part to finish up the definition of what is a franchise.
Yeah,
I mentioned it before, but for people not really familiar with the franchise concept, it says for all this service the franchisor will give, it says in exchange the franchisee usually pays the franchisor an initial fee called a franchise fee,
right,
and then a continuing ongoing fee. I mentioned a word before that's called a royalty. You know, usually could range in the 2 to 5% range. It includes advertising and everything, but the franchisee will pay a royalty. And that's basically for the use of the trade name and all the operating methods and system that we're talking about. So I think that's a great definition of, you know, the word franchise. It really just sums it all up in just a few paragraphs.
Absolutely.
You know, and as weeks go on, we're going to be using these words a lot.
Absolutely.
Franchisee, franchisor. So that's why we think it's important to kind of just throw these terms out in the first show, just
I agree.
People understand it.
I agree. We have, you know, some of those definitions actually posted on our show page for World Talk Radio too, Don. But
so thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.